Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What's going on, y'all? It's Karina Reichman, live and uncut, on a day off of Guster Tour, and I am joined here by my dear pal, Isaac Sloan, via the telephonic airwaves. Isaac, it's great to hear your voice, pal. Thanks for doing this.
I'm honored. I know that this episode was almost the episode that wasn't, but we decided to prevail, and we're talking with each other on one of your rare days off amidst a pretty crazy tour. I mean, I think this is a tour you will always remember in a lot of ways, and I don't know anything about it yet.
But you feel that. It's in the air,
right?
It's in the air.
There's something about it.
Yeah, there's something about it, man. Well, I'll tell you, you know, two shows down, five to go, I believe, and they have just, you're absolutely right. I feel like I'll never forget. I love these guys so much. We've talked about them a bunch in the past few episodes because I've been excited for this tour, but Guster, what a band, what a group of guys. Incredible to see them play every night and incredible to warm up their crowd for them before they go on. It's a complete honor, and I'm just such a fan. My bandmate Adam on guitar is a lifelong fan, knows all the words to all the songs, and it's a delight to sing with him every night and watch, you know, as one of his favorite bands plays right after us. Everyone on their crew is incredible. And we've done the Lincoln Theater in Raleigh, North Carolina, followed by the Norva in Norfolk, Virginia. And those were the very exact first two tour dates of my first tour ever when I was 17 years old. So that was just incredibly kind of salient in a lot of ways, you know? I was just like, holy shit, like, this is sort of, like, I remember being so overexcited and so, like, just bit by the bug that never left, you know? And I'm just like, holy shit, like, to be back here, you know, a decade later or whatever, it's just like, you know, especially the Norva, I'll tell you, you know, the Norva in Norfolk, Virginia, it used to be a gym, I found out. Like, it's like, what did this building used to be, right? And I remember, and I'm picturing my 17-year-old self there under these circumstances and just like, and I remember losing my mind and just being like, this is the coolest venue I've ever seen. And it has a basketball court and a hot tub and a sauna and a steam room and a game room and pool and ping pong and, you know, all this crazy ass shit. And honestly, it's just as jubilating, you know, now than it was then. I was picturing myself there like a decade ago, just being like, how did I not like spontaneously combust? Like, it's so overwhelmingly awesome there. They took such great care of us, as did the Lincoln Theater, you know, beautiful, beautiful times in both venues. And fucking A, Isaac. I mean, it's been really, I can't even believe this is how we've started the tour, and every other show on the tour is sold out. So really an honor to warm up sold out, fervent, incredibly passionate Guster crowds, you know, who really, you know, they're a listening crowd, they're a thoughtful crowd, they're a fun crowd, diverse in age, amongst other things. They're really cool. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Guster fans, shall we say, and a fan of the band as well. So it's been off to a great start, Isaac. And tomorrow we are at the Paramount in Huntington, Long Island, a venue you and I have frequented as kids. We would, you know, take the train out there from Manhattan, and we've seen a lot of crazy shows there. So, and I haven't been in years and years and years, so it'll be very interesting to be there and to play a sold-out show in Long Island. And it's actually extra crazy because Adam November, my guitar player, his parents are coming, and Chris, my drummer, his parents and sister and 90-year-old grandparents are coming to the show. So, which is just like, they've never really seen Chris play, let alone to a sold-out crowd, you know, 10 minutes from their house, you know? And it's just already like, you know, these aren't my parents, but I'm overwhelmed for the boys. Like, it's just really cool. So really looking forward to that. And shout out Adam Shapiro and Lauren Baker, our very excellent two good friends who are also coming to the show tomorrow. So really, you know, it's a family affair out there, and I'm feeling the love and have had just great reactions. And I'm very, very stoked to be doing this with my one set daddies, which is what we're calling the gentlemen in Guster, because they only play one set, as opposed to all the other bands I opened for who played two sets. So that's been great. It's been great, man. What the fuck?
Well, I am just wildly enthused about it as well, and congrats to you and to the one set daddies and Guster. It's just sounds like it's off to a really great start, and yeah, tomorrow should be a special one at the Paramount.
Feels that way. Thanks, Isaac. Really looking forward to it. So it's great, and I'm so glad we could actually make time in the middle of, you know, I definitely drove for, I mean somebody else drove, I was driven, you know, for 7.5 hours today from Virginia, so it's pretty insane that we get to connect, and I'm so glad we are, because there's actually some really fun news popping off, including, I mean, I don't even know where you want to start, Isaac. Where do you want to start?
Well, we have to. It's just been on my mind, coming kind of in and out of my conscious awareness since I heard the news of this, and I suspect you have a lot to say. Power Trip.
Boom. So much to say. So much to say. So much to say. So much to say. Yes. No, Isaac, it's absolutely crazy. Talk about, you know, 3 days after my own heart. For those who don't know, this takes place in Indio, California, where Coachella is held, and it features, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 6th, 7th, and 8th. Friday night is Guns N' Roses and Iron Maiden. I'm picturing Isaac there, giddy as a schoolchild. Next night is AC/DC and Ozzy Osbourne, and Sunday night is Metallica and Tool. I'm picturing myself at that, giddy as a schoolchild. I mean, this is, you know, a few years ago there was Old Cella, right? Which was like every seminal classic rock band in terms of like The Who and Neil Young and I, who even played that? Everybody. You can't even miss one, right? The Eagles and
no,
probably...
not the Eagles.
Okay, cool. That's the only one that didn't play.
Yeah, no, that was a very cool festival. And this is, you know, obviously a Desert Trip. This is Power Trip. It's very much playing on that. I think it's funny that we're giddy as a schoolchild on the nights that AC/DC is not playing.
I know, because of course, are you kidding? Like, when if, you know, if we find ourselves there and we're at the AC/DC and Ozzy night, we are going to be absolutely giddy as schoolchildren. I mean, the whole thing.
Well, I say that particularly
ridiculous.
Because Angus Young dresses as a schoolchild on stage.
Oh, got it. Yeah, totally.
But yes, I would love to see that. I had a great time with you at AC/DC at the Giant Stadium a few years ago.
I'm just picturing that, you know, forget Angus. I'm thinking about us just raging to Angus, you know, at a football field. That was so excellent. I mean, this is wild, Isaac. I feel like, you know, maybe it's just my heavy metal blinders on. For those who don't know, I'm a big fan of all this music, you know, and this and more, basically. But I'm a big thrash metal junkie and a classic, you know, hard rock fan from day one, basically. But I think this is gonna, I think more people than you think are gonna go to this. That's my theory. I might have the goggles on.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
This is going to be well attended, and it's going to be, I think it's a special thing with some incredibly well, I like the fact that it's two enormous bands per night. Do you know what I mean?
It's a cool setup. I mean, that's the way that Desert Trip was, and, you know, I definitely welcome an event like that.
Yeah, there's something kind of incredible about it. It's like, all right, we're in the desert, there's however many thousand people here, and we're here for Guns N' Roses and Iron Maiden, and that's sick. And then the next night, AC/DC and Ozzy. Next night, Metallica and Tool. Boom, baby. That was our Palm Springs vacation.
Is there a world where we on the podcast each rank the bands in terms of level of excitement, or are we just kind of going with the whole thing being one awesome
event? I'm here for that. As much as, you know, we definitely big up it as one awesome event. And I'll preface my rankings as these are all, I love all of these bands
in
different ways and at different times in my life. They have poked at, you know what I mean? Like they've fought for number one, number two slots, you know, throughout, I would say, you know, from 7 to 10 years old, 10 to 13, 13 to 15, 15 to 18 and so forth. You know, I feel like a lot of these bands have sort of fought each other out in terms of which was my favorite. I would say my first favorite of all these bands was AC/DC. I remember being very excited about AC/DC as a young kid, particularly Back in Black, and Hell's Bells, and Highway to Hell, and TNT, and then later on Thunderstruck, which I still emulate in all my solos when I do the pull off.
It's very true that song has influenced your music specifically.
Thunderstruck has really done something to the inner workings of my synapses in ways that, you know, also I will go further into this and I will say, you know, solo, like the Power Slave solo, the Iron Maiden stuff, same concept, you know, a lot of pull offs, a lot of hammer-ons, a lot of just this sort of, you know, technique wise. These were songs that really sort of influenced my playing at a young age that I have been unable to shake from the fabric of my musical DNA. So, you know, AC/DC definitely like was an early favorite. If I'm here talking to you, you know, it's 2023, Carina Reichman, my power rankings in terms of what I want to listen to today, I'll go for that, right? Number one, I'm gonna give it to Metallica. I'm just gonna give it up because for me, it never ceases to amaze me how much the first four records have permeated. And like, you know, we could talk all day about Thunderstruck and Power Slave being huge influences on my playing, but the real huge influence on my playing is Cliff Burton in every way, shape, or form, specifically a video of him playing Anesthesia, pulling teeth, the bass solo, if you will, in, God, it must have been 1983 or 4, so early, and it just, you know, basically completely reshaped the way that I played bass, you know, and I do a lot of fuzz bass, and I think of Cliff every time, and just, you know, I just think their songs are superior to just about any other metal band in most ways, you know? So Metallica goes first. Next is Tool, which I sort of gravitated towards more later in life, not later, but like, you know, I had a big sort of Tool phase in high school, but it's only grown since then. And that's just, you know, they're one of the most exciting live bands in my eyes. And I just think, you know, that's number two for me in a big way. Then I'm going to give it to Iron Maiden right after that. And I don't need to go through an explanation for all of them. I'm going to go Metallica, Tool, Iron Maiden. God, it's kind of a toss-up between Guns N' Roses and AC/DC for me at that slot, you know? I'm going to give it to Guns N' Roses and then go AC/DC and then Ozzy. And I only say that I respect the Prince of Darkness more than anybody. He recently announced his retirement, so this is obviously, you know, he's going back on that, shall we say? But I only say that because I spent many, many years in high school kind of following Ozzy around. I saw many, many Ozzy shows, many Sabbath shows, you know.
You went to like a meet and greet, right? Like Borders Books.
I waited for hours to meet Ozzy at Borders. Yeah, absolutely. I have, you know, literally brought my Blizzard of Oz vinyl to be signed by Ozzy, which is framed and hanging in my childhood bedroom, you know, and I just feel like I oversaturated that one, and I feel like the gifts that Ozzy has given to this world will never, like, you know, I am such a huge fan, but I feel like I've done my time seeing him live, and maybe the greatest days are over if I, you know, I say that with nothing but respect, but it's just not on the top of my list in terms of what I want to see tomorrow. You know what I mean? And nothing but respect. So those are my power rankings of the power trip, Isaac. What do you got?
Well, you know, Karina, it's somewhat similar, I must say. I put Tool at number one. I think any night you can go see Tool is a special night. They are an unbelievable live act. And, you know, it's kind of cool to see them leaning into the classic heavy metal side of things. I mean, they're a band that bridges a lot of different genres and have certainly taken a lot of newer acts on the road with them. And so it's very special to me to see them on this lineup for a lot of different reasons.
Amen.
Then Iron Maiden, they were really my number one for a very long time, and still are, you know, a beacon for me in a lot of ways in terms of creativity and prowess and imaginative, theatrical, powerful music. I think they continue to make interesting albums. I try to see them anytime they're around, and you know, I just love that they're there with Guns N' Roses on that Friday. That being said, AC/DC, they don't come around too often. I've seen many a Guns N' Roses show. Actually, if you ask me, what was your favorite concert you've ever seen? Which sometimes I get asked this question. Sometimes I will go with Guns N' Roses at the Meadowlands because they are unbelievable live. So, like you said, it's a toss-up. I might give the edge to AC/DC considering the kind of infrequent touring that they do, but it's really quite a tie between the two of those. I'm not the Metallica fan that you are. Not to say that I don't respect Metallica, and I would be very excited to see them in this context, but Metallica and Ozzy are right there in that tier. I mean, again, this is a festival with a lot offering.
A plethora of riches, if you will. Totally.
Totally.
Unbelievable. Well, that concludes the power rankings of Power Trip. I like that game, Isaac. That was good. That was fresh. I look forward to seeing just, I don't know, leading up to this event. I think it's just going to be interesting. I don't know. Are they going to add bands? Somebody going to open? Like, what the fuck? Is it just going to be like, welcome to the festival grounds. Here is AC/DC. That's incredible. I think it probably will be like that. But anyway, I digress. Very cool shit. On the complete other side of the spectrum, if you will, we have one of our favorite bands that you had the pleasure of seeing twice. I had the pleasure of seeing once without opening for them. Last weekend at the Capitol Theater, we're talking about the Disco Biscuits. They have just released some summer tour dates, Isaac. Let's expand upon this. This is some interesting stuff.
You know, Karina, notably,
yes, please.
If it's not one thing, it's the Disco Biscuits.
That's what I'm saying. I know. We just can't stop talking about the Disco Biscuits. And, you know, I'm not mad about it.
No,
I think it's great.
Neither.
It's unbelievable. And I think, you know, these two shows at Mulcahy's in Wantagh, New York. This is Long Island, people. I know you have a lot of thoughts on the matter, Isaac. What the ever-loving fuck is going on with this?
We love this. This, you know, brings the Disco Biscuits back to their bar band. I mean, obviously, this is a room that's bigger than just a bar. It's, you know, I don't know, 1,500 people. But it's a smaller room on Long Island, right off the Wantagh LIRR stop. And, you know, they're positioned to just do something really, really awesome in a little bit more of an intimate setting. It's not a theater. It's not an outdoor stage, as, you know, many bands are poised to play in the summer. I think that they are going to lay down something very, very cool in this smaller space on Long Island this summer in June 16th and 17th.
Pretty amazing. pretty amazing stuff. I really look forward. I hope I can be there. But man, we got that. We got the Count Basie Center in Red Bank, New Jersey. You've been there, Isaac, right? Or am I tripping?
I have been there. What have I seen there? I saw the Tedeschi Trucks Band there, and I saw King Crimson there.
That's fun. That's fun. I have never had the pleasure, but I can picture this being phenomenal.
Yes.
This is great.
It's definitely theater in the middle of New Jersey, which I love. I mean, I think I've spoken a lot on the podcast about venturing outside of your typical venues, outside of the boundaries of your city or state, and going to see one of your favorite bands. So looking forward to that one as well.
Super cool. Super cool. We have Isle of Palm, South Carolina, which I believe, and I hope nobody roasts me for this, but I believe is basically Charleston, at the Windjammer, which is very, very cool. We have the good old Lincoln Theater in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I played 2 days ago. Fantastic. The National in Richmond, Virginia. And they had a great show there last year, which I've been listening to quite a bit. Several shows, right? Two? Don't know. I've been listening to one of them, certainly. I wonder if it's the only one they did. But anyway, I digress.
Three, actually. Then we had
three. Holy fucking shit, dude. Well, I really got to diversify the one I've been listening to. And then we have Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Wilmington, Delaware. I mean, it's going to be a great 10 days in June for the Disco Biscuits. That's all I'm saying. I think that's great. What a fun summer 2023 tour. Chock full of surprises for the fans.
Totally. And the band's doing great. I mean, we caught up with them at the Cap in Portchester last weekend. You know, they've just been playing so consistently. They are streaming their Colorado run, two nights at the Belly Up in Aspen last night and tonight, and then two nights at the Mission Ballroom in Denver proper this weekend. Those shows are streaming live on, say it with me now, nugs.net. It really does feel like a lot of bands are doing the webcast thing, whether it be an exclusive thing for Nugs subscribers or a paid stream or a free stream on YouTube. It's definitely, you know, coming out of lockdown, a lot of, you know, at-home media that you can enjoy. And it's an interesting way to take in a show.
Certainly, certainly. And it's just another offering, another way, a point of entry for fans, you know, a way to kind of be there with your fans. I think it's really, really cool. Enter, you know, the homestead, man. Enter the homestead. That's awesome.
You know, I saw that the band The War on Drugs are playing a show at the Stone Pony Summer Stage on August 18th with Shaky Graves, Lucius, and Steve Gunn. And I'd like to think that that's a version of Power Trip for a certain kind of music fan.
That's true. That's definitely true. I think that's great. Did you say that was at the Stone Pony Summer Stage?
Yeah.
That's very cool. I'm a fan. This is great. This is great news.
It's interesting to see which bands go out in the summer specifically and which bands choose to do kinds of one-off things like that. I don't know. The summer is a whole kind of musical landscape of its own.
It just opens up basically all the venues that, you know, bands can play in the winter when it's cold. It just completely opens everything up because there's twice as many rooms that you could play if you're the kind of band that likes to play or can play the summer amphitheaters, outdoor stages, et cetera, et cetera. It's very interesting. You make a very excellent point. It's interesting to see where people choose to play. And you know, I think some things are better suited to that sort of outdoor summer loving, freewheeling, fucking sick vibe. And other things are best served in a theater, you know, and other things are best served in a club, you know. Really, it's an interesting thing.
Totally.
So
no,
I agree with you.
Yeah, and some bands actually try to kind of escape the riffraff of all of that and play some festival dates, a couple of weekends here and there, but really sort of save a larger tour for the fall. And that's kind of cool.
Certainly.
Too, you know, that whole sort of just different dynamic.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a really beautiful thing. I feel like New York City is on absolute crack now that there has been just a glimmer of warmer weather and, you know, flowers blooming, trees getting their leaves back. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, wow, people are so good to go. And I don't even know if I'm ready for the energy that the, you know, spring/summer is about to usher in, except I take that back. I'm extremely ready for it. It's pretty awesome. So if it's like that in our town, I wonder what it's like in your town, man. Where are you listening from? What's going on? This is, it's an exciting time of year, Isaac. I think this is really great. And, man, I'd like to, you know, I told RJB, the man in question, the gentleman who puts us on here at Osiris, that there wasn't going to be an episode this week because I was traveling too much. It's all me. It's my fault. Not Isaac's fault. It's my fault. I'm out there, strung out on a limb, touring in a Jeep Wrangler with four gentlemen and a bunch of equipment. It's out of control out there, you know? And it's just like, day by day, you never realize how crazy it's going to be until you're doing it. And then you're like, holy shit. But RJ, you're not going to even believe it when we email you the show file.
It's kind of the lost episode in a lot of ways.
It's the lost episode. I really like that. I feel like it affords you, you know, sort of freedoms and thoughts that perhaps you wouldn't have had if it was just a given episode. So this is very exciting, Isaac. This is very exciting. Is there anything else we need to touch on before we ask RJ to take us out to dinner and thank him profusely?
And I think we can take us home like that, yeah.
I like it. I like it. Well, RJ, it's been real. I hope you love this episode. The episode that is and could have not been, which sounds like the lyrics of a Metallica song. Isaac's favorite. And we look forward to going out to dinner.
I feel so kind of ostracized for not being as big of a Metallica fan as I feel like I should be.
Oh, it's okay, though. It's like, you know, it's Apple, you know, it's not for everybody, man. I feel like you are in plenty great company of people who are sort of neither here nor there on the band. And I know you're not neither here nor there. You just don't like him as much as Iron Maiden. I totally get that, which makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I feel like you should be secure in your stance, or we can absolutely sit in a dark room and I could take you through the first dark album, first four albums, and you know, talk about what we like and don't like about them. That'll be great. But either way, RJ, the three of us can do that in Philly when you take us out to dinner. For being your dear pals, purveyors of podcast gold, thank you for everything. Thank you for putting us on. We love this forgotten episode that almost wasn't. And to our listeners, thanks, man, and thanks for having patience with your girl, me, for being, you know, I've been on the road so much this year, and it's amazing that we can make this happen when we do, and I appreciate your listenership so much, and it's so great to meet you on the road, and you tell me you listen every week. I can't even believe that, so thank you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your listenership. We applaud you. We adore you. Isaac, anything you need to say to let these people know that we're tying a bow on this thing and it's over?
Peace, no static.
Boom. Nothing but the truth. Later, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions?
I bet it's not where you... Osiris.
Hello out there.
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.